This recording is a production of Faith Builders Educational Programs. This presentation was recorded at REACH 2015, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders on March 19 and 20, 2015.
Good afternoon. It's good to be with you all here. So we're going to be speaking about ladies in support positions and managing office personnel. As Karen said, I've been working with Christian Aid for 20 plus years, and it's been a very enjoyable experience. And as we can see from this small gathering here, it seems like in our Mennonite circles, we don't have many ladies as leaders, which I believe is proper. But some of us are called into authority or as a leader, and with this session here we want to look a little bit at how we can handle that and how we do handle that. But I am curious how many of you here today are in a position like that of leadership. By raise of hand, I'd like to see. Okay. And it's good to see some of my friends here. I'm glad to have you here. Okay, thinking of leadership, as I was studying for this session, I came across an article in the Sword and Trumpet. It was the September 2014 Sword and Trumpet, and it had a great article on being a leader of integrity. And, you know, sometimes we might think, well, leaders, they're men, and that is fine and good. But as I mentioned, there are some of us who are put into that position. And so let's think a little bit about a leader of integrity. So what is a leader? I believe a leader is one who goes first and shows others the way. And the meaning of integrity, moral soundness, honesty, and freedom from corrupting influence or motive. And a leader who has acquired knowledge but does not have integrity is a difficult person to work with. Often you see pride in that person's life, but if a leader needs to have integrity. And I don't know if any of you have read any of John C. Maxwell's books. He is an author, speaker, and pastor who's primarily focused on leadership. He says a leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. And of course, we always go back to the Bible for examples of a lot of our things in life. And one good example of leadership is found in Ezra 7, verse 9 and 10. It says, on the first day of the first month came he to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach. So we can see here that he sought in his heart to teach. And that is also important as we as leaders, we are called to teach. So let's think of, do we have position or are we a leader? I believe it is wrong to desire position, but it is right to desire to be a leader. The way to be a godly leader is by serving, and I have seen that in many, many of my superiors. Even Bill Mullett is one prime example of being a servant, being a leader and being a servant. And Jesus said in Mark 9:35, if you want to be first, you need to be a servant of all. So it's very important to have a servant's heart when in leadership position. Okay, the first section here is managing time wisely and handling everyday pressures. Now, do you have an outlook on the outlook? I think that's a very important thing to ask us. There are times, of course, that it seems our outlook is maybe taken away a little bit, depending what happens in the office and so on. But what does the Bible say about a merry heart? It says in Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. And a person who knows how to manage time wisely is most likely a happy person. That's not even just in your office time, but also in at home. If you know how to manage your time wisely, very likely you're a happy person. Managing your time well means managing your life well. Okay, number one is to prioritize. And I always have some things that I need to do in my day. I don't necessarily make big lists of doing this and this and this. I have things that I must do every day. And one thing is to get the accounts payable items ready. We actually do accounts payable every day, so I need to prepare those. And I often try to do that first thing in the morning. Although, when I come to work, we've heard some very good sessions here, and there was some discussion on emails. When I come to work in the morning, I usually have quite a number of emails. There's staff overseas that are already working for quite some time because they are ahead of us in the day. So when I get to work, I often have emails that I need to work through. So first of all, I try to focus on getting those most important emails out of the way. And then I try to get to my accounts payable items. I try to focus on that as one of my first goals. So I try to prioritize in that way to get those items out of the way. After those things are done, then I try to work through some items of lesser importance but still need to be done. And I try to keep my afternoon for bigger but less intense items. Okay, number two, or A in the prioritizing, it's structuring your day. And when is the most productive time of your day? It's interesting to me how people are different. Some people do well in the evenings. Well, my most productive time is in the morning. So I try to do my items that take more brain power in the morning. Although there's also other things to consider, because sometimes you need to have a big chunk of time for some items. So one thing I need a big chunk of time is for payroll, and that takes a lot of brain power. But I need a big chunk of time, so that usually comes in the afternoon. So also, even if you structure your day according to your most productive time, sometimes you have to also keep in mind your bigger times that you need. B is to keep your focus. Focus on the moment. Let's think a little bit of something that takes you out of your focus. And I want to open it up and hear what from you too after a bit here. And items that tend to take you out of focus, excuse me, there are some distractions that we should keep at a minimum. And let's look at a few of those. We had a girl working for us, and she was dating. And she had a big picture of her boyfriend on her screensaver. And we really felt that this was a distraction. So we asked her to remove that from her screen. And poor planning is also can be a distraction. Overcommitments. Now, I just came from a session where they said to overcommit ourselves. And I guess I'm looking at it the other way. I don't want to overcommit myself because it actually can be something that takes me out of my focus, off my focus. Also, ineffective attitudes and behaviors are known to get in the way. Sometimes when things don't quite go our way, we could maybe hold grudges or something. That can be something that takes us out of focus. Also, pile up of papers. I think we all probably have problems with that. And what do we do with a pile up of papers? We have, at work, we have a quarterly training time, and our general director, one time, he suggested if you have too many papers, get a box, put those papers all into the box, and start from the top. Well, I don't know that I necessarily take a box, but I have already taken all my papers on my desk and put them on top of each other and just started from the top. It is amazing sometimes, all of a sudden, how that stack just leaves. And sometimes there's things that are sitting there and kind of drudgery things, you know, but I tell myself mentally, okay, I've got to do this sometime, just do it now. So back to distractions. I'd like to hear from you. What do you consider as distractions, and how do you take care of those? Any thoughts? If there is nothing, I will keep on going. Number two I have is to stay flexible. Plan for interruptions. As a manager, we need to realize that we have interruptions, and we need to plan for those. I hope I have learned some in that area. I used to sometimes say, I have not gotten anything done today yet. I hear some of you have felt the same way. Well, my friend and coworker told me, you know, that's part of your job. Interruptions are part of your job, and you need to be prepared for those. So don't structure your day so full that you don't have time for those interruptions. Don't plan your day so full that interruptions will frustrate. And often at 4:45, you know, I'm trying quickly to get something out of the way before 5 o'clock. Well, I do try not to wait till 4:45 to do a whole bunch of things, but try to plan that so that maybe at 4:45 you're ready to finish off. And if nobody comes into your office to interrupt you, maybe you can finish up what you actually planned to do. Okay, B is handling stress. I think we need to look at that subject because I think everybody has that in their life. And recently I was at my chiropractor's and he told me that everyone has stress. It's how we handle it that matters. And I'd actually like to know how other people handle stress. So again, I might open that in after a while. But I think, again, looking at biblical things, limit your focus to concerns of the day. Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. And also, we don't need to face each day with our own limitations. With Christ in us, we have supernatural power. In Romans 8:31, we can see that if God is for us, who can be against us? And I recently was reading the account of Elisha and his servant, the servant was afraid because of the large army that was coming against them. And Elisha asked God to open his eyes, and he saw a mountain full of horses and chariots of fire that were to fight for them. And even today, we have that power available. Now, how do we physically get rid of stress? Definitely, I know a lot of it is mentally how we handle it. But in 1 Timothy 4:8, it says, for bodily exercise profits a little. And I guess I take that to heart. I love the outdoors, and that's a good way for me to get rid of stress. I love horseback riding. I love biking. I love working in my flower beds. So during the summer, it almost seems like I don't have quite as much stress in the summer because I can get out and get some physical exercise. But during the winter, I also try to get out and get some fresh air every now and then. But yeah, just a release of getting out and doing some things like that is a real stress reliever for me. So anybody care to share how you get rid of your stress? Very good, thank you. Getting home from work, going on a half hour walk, and just even getting up off out of your chair during the day, maybe taking a walk to the kitchen for a cup of coffee or going and encouraging a coworker. Yes, very, very good. The computer can be cooperative after you get up and leave it alone for a little bit. Okay. The next point is on delegating. And as a manager, normally you will have opportunity to delegate. Now, I realize not everyone has the opportunity, maybe, because if you're the only person in the office, you obviously won't be able to delegate tasks to somebody else. But there's even principles in life other than just at the workplace that we can apply some of these principles to. But for myself, if I'm way too busy, it's my own fault. Yes, there's times that maybe I have passed on some things and then that person quits. It does not make sense for the new person to take that on. So it falls back onto me again. But as a whole, if I'm too busy, it's my own fault because my supervisor has told me already that he doesn't care if I pass on all my tasks so I'm able to manage, because it is important to also have somebody available to manage the tasks. And the story of Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, again, a biblical example, and we'll look at that a little bit, how Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood about Moses from morning until evening. He said, "When the people have a matter, they come unto me." So let's look at that biblical example of delegating. I'm going to go to Exodus 18 and just read a few verses. Verse 17, "And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone." So we can see,
thank you.
There's five primary leadership principles in the advice given by Jethro that we do well to take heed. Number one is equipping. Moses was encouraged to take the time needed to equip others for the work. Number two, mentoring. And that's in verse 20. "And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein thou must walk." His statement, "show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform," was much more than encouragement to Moses to be a good example. He told Moses that he was to show the people both how to live. And we'll look at that later a little bit in how to, we are to give support. And Exodus 18:21 on selecting. "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth," and so on. Moses was then to select capable men. And again, there's two of us in the office that do the hiring for the secretaries. And it's been amazing to me how when we hire somebody, we put them in a certain position and then maybe it just doesn't quite work out, so we switch them to another position. So it's, you know, it's kind of like selecting for the right position. Okay, and accountability in Exodus 18, verse 22. "And let them judge the people at all sessions, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge." So here we can see that he was given giving them accountability, passing on work to somebody else. And one thing that I have seen when I I need to pass on work, but I also need to let those people then take that and do it their own way. I should not be trying to hold on to that myself and thinking, well, you know, I didn't used to do it that way, but let it go and let them do it their own way. Of course, first we need to give good training, but also have them make their own mistakes, fix their own mistakes, and then they'll be able to take it on from there. And number five is oversight. It says in the last part of verse 22, so shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. So we can see that even though you pass something on to somebody else, as a manager, we still need to be there to give support. And sometimes I find myself that I get so busy with my things, but I try when somebody comes to my office to lay everything down and just focus on what they have to say. It's much better that way than if I'm trying to still kind of be doing my task and trying to listen to them, lay everything aside and just focus on what their need is at the moment. Okay, the result. Jethro tells Moses that if he abides by his advice, he will reap positive benefits from it. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain and all these people will go home satisfied. What was Moses' reaction to Jethro's advice? Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. So I think there again, we can apply that to ourselves. If we take the advice that we see here, we can make our load lighter. And again, as John Maxwell states, a leader is great not because of his or her power, but because of his or her ability to empower others. Success without a successor is failure. And we can see that a worker's main responsibility is doing the work himself. A leader's main responsibility is developing others to do the work. And finally, Jethro himself gives the best reason of all to put these empowerment principles to use when he said, "And so God commands." So if we focus back on what God does, what God commands, that's the best principle of all. Okay, the next section is on providing support. How do we provide support to those who are working under us? And what is our relationship with our superior? Your people really are a mirror of your attitude. And if you get along with your superior, very likely those under you will get along. And CAM has a great leader, and I looked up to him. He's very supportive and encouraging, which also makes it very easy for me to get along with him. Following are a number of personality traits that we should use in being a supportive manager. First one is to show charisma, and which is an extraordinary power granted by the Holy Spirit. Now, I say that because I do not feel like I'm a born leader, but because of what God has given me, He has chosen me for this work. He has also equipped me with the power that I need to do the work. And I read an article, a secular article, on charisma, and it just said there that you should show confidence, and, you know, you should, if somebody walks into a room, and you should act like you're really confident. Well, maybe, but I also think that God can provide us with what we need in that area. Another thing in that is not worrying what others think about you, but only how God looks at you. And God loves each of us. And if we feel that love, we will also show it in our demeanor. So if we really have God working through us, we can show charisma. And we also should be more concerned about making others feel good about themselves than you're making them feel good about you. Those who think about others and their concerns before thinking about themselves exhibit charisma. And your candle loses nothing when it lights another. Calvin Coolidge said, "No person was ever honored for what he received. Honor has been the reward for what he gave." And the next point is to exude joy, abundant joy. And how do you do that? It needs to come from your inward man. It's important to have a real relationship with the Master. And then inspire confidence. Proverbs 3:26 says, "For the Lord shall be thy confidence." Ephesians 3:12 says, "In whom," talking about Christ, "we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him." Encouraging someone goes a long way to inspire confidence. And share conviction. Influence others to follow. You know, the girls at work, it's interesting how different we all are, but I really appreciate when they come to me with complaints. I don't mind if they come to me with complaints. I'd much rather have that than if they start complaining among themselves. I'd much rather them come to me. Well, the other day, one of the girls was, we were very busy because one of the girls needed to go to a disaster response to fill in there because they couldn't find a secretary. So we gave up one of ours at the office. So we were all very busy and everyone was under stress. And one of the girls told me about another one that she responded to me like a firecracker. And I'm almost scared of her, then it's hard to be cheerful. And I knew the other girl was also under a lot of stress, and probably, you know, they didn't both know that they were both having stress. So I just kindly told her that if a person responds in that way, really what they're wanting in return is empathy. But our human nature never wants to give it back if somebody responds to us that way. So, you know, we just need to realize what the other person is also going through. And then another point is to connect empathetically. And it's okay to show emotion when someone is hurting. Recently, one of the girls' mother died from the office. And I came to work one morning and I could tell that she was really, really hurting. And she told me that she just had a very hard weekend. And we cried together because I knew that she was hurting. And it's just a way of encouragement to connect empathetically. And then sometimes we need to be a teacher, counselor, and mother. You know, we have this joke at work, though, that your mother doesn't work here, clean up after yourself. But sometimes, yeah, we need to be a mother, and a teacher, and a counselor. I've had the opportunity to give support to girls who were going through severe depression. And I'm not a counselor, but I have asked God often already to give me wisdom when somebody comes to my office and I know she's hurting terribly. And it's just amazing how God helps us in situations like that. God is so faithful. And did you ever play the anagram game where you use a bunch of letters to see how many words you can get out of it? Did you ever realize that the word silent and listen uses exactly the same letters? I thought that was kind of interesting. Okay, all people have some things in common. I found these quotes that were fitting. They like to feel special, so sincerely compliment them. They want a better tomorrow, so show them hope. They desire direction, so navigate for them. They are selfish, so speak to their needs first. They get low emotionally, so encourage them. They want success, so help them win. Okay, just going back to a few of those items about sincerely complimenting. Now, there is also something that is kind of like complimenting called flattery. And we don't want flattery. Flattery is actually manipulation. And I looked up the definition of flattery. It says praise or complimenting someone, especially insincerely or to win favor. The Bible speaks of flattery as a characteristic of the wicked, not the righteous. In Psalm 5:9, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. So we can see that we do not want to flatter. We want to sincerely compliment. And again, it's going back to making other people feel better than about themselves and making them feel good about us. And they desire direction, so navigate for them. Have you already heard the saying that it's lonely at the top? You know, sometimes we kind of feel that a little bit. But I have found that if we're truly there for others, that loneliness flees. So, you know, in a way, it's kind of selfishness maybe when we feel that loneliness. And about encouraging. Encouragement is like a snowball. If one person starts encouraging, it has a snowball effect. They start encouraging others. And it's just, yeah, start encouraging. It'll probably come back to you. Okay. Any thoughts on that subject about providing support? Okay, next subject is headship at the workplace. Submission is a discipline of the heart for all believers to practice. All Christians are called to submit to authority. And then there's a few verses there with the thought of authority. And the Greek word for submission describes a voluntary action or attitude. So even if we are called to a position of authority, we are still under authority. And submission is really different than obeying. Obey means to follow a command, and submit means to yield of our own will. So if we do that of our own will, I believe God will reward us. I came across a tract, if I can find it here. It's called Yes, I'll Tell You Why I Wear It. I don't know if any of you have come across that or not, but I really, really like that tract. Brenda Weaver has a lot of good things to say, and I'm going to read a few items that are in here. It says, a woman, by covering her head, symbolizes her submission. Though practices have changed, the scriptural significance remains, and the blessings of wearing the covering are abundant. and God's order of authority of equal value, men and women, and in Galatians 3, 26 to 28, it talks about how we're equal. Of equal value, men and women are divinely created, different in many ways. Due to our differences and as a result of mankind's fall into sin, God has established an order of authority. Thereby, our lifestyles are simplified and our differences are complemented. Similarly, men and women hold equally important positions, but God asks women to be submissive to the authority of men. In the light of all that has been said, the first and most important reason I wear a covering is that it is a visible symbol of my acceptance of God's order of authority. So, very good track. Really like that. And can we say no when the men at the office ask us to do something? I think there are places for that. It depends. Now, I'm going to take an example. David has already asked me to go ahead when we have farewells for those in our department. And there's 50 plus people in our office, and more than half of those are men. And At first I was like, there's no way I can do that. I don't want to go ahead when we're having these farewells in front of all the men. But David required, he asked us to do that. So I felt it was my responsibility to follow his command, I guess. So, but there might be time. I mean, I think if we are totally uncomfortable in doing something like that, and it's okay to share it, but even in that instant, he encouraged us to go ahead with and just take the lead when we get together for our meal and ask somebody to lead in prayer and have a little bit of something to say for the person who's quitting. And another thing that we have already struggled with as women at the workplace is when new men come into the office, and of course we know a lot more than they do. And how do we respond to that? There again, I think it's okay for us to tell them how we do things. It's okay for us to do that. And I think often the men even appreciate knowing that this is the way we do things. And I think we as women know when we get out of our box. And if we're truly following God, he will show us when we have maybe went over our bounds. And he will truly show us if we want him to show us. So have any of you experienced any of that? And do you have any thoughts on how you handle things when new men come around and they need to know things that nobody else seems to be telling them, and we kind of struggle with it? Any thoughts on that? Yes, and it's often that's the way it is. You know, they'll be wanting to know, well, where is this or that, and how do you manage or handle this? And if they come to you with questions, we need to tell them then where to find it or how to go from there. When people from the field, I'll just use an example that might be kind of the same thing. When people from the field come home and they have items to turn in for reimbursement, and they come to me and ask, can I have this reimbursed? Normally I know, but I usually tell them, well, I feel better if you go to your supervisor to ask that question. And they will be able to tell you. So yeah, if we just direct them kindly to where they actually should be going. Yeah, well, I think that is all I have for today, and thank you very much for your attention, and may God bless the rest of your day.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.